Amen. That's a very sobering kind of a song.
There are a few like that that I've heard through the years. Now, they don't necessarily end up being the most popular songs, but I'm so thankful for the truths that were expressed there. And there are going to be those that God will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And those are going to be the ones that said, "Did we not do this in your name, do that in your name, do the other in your name?" But we need to know that we know the Lord, not because we're in church this morning or because we have family that are believers or something like that, but because we personally have been born again. And I challenge you, if you don't know that this morning, then you might seek the Lord even today, and the Lord can allow you to be born into His family before the service is done today, if that would be your desire. 2 Samuel chapter 12 this morning in the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I told our combined Sunday school class this morning that I was still wrestling some with what the Lord would have me preach this Sunday morning, even yesterday. And the Lord then directed my attention to this topic. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to read verses 19 down through the end of the chapter, verse number 31. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 19 through 31. I'm going to ask you to read aloud with me the even number verses as we read down through this passage. So I'll read the odd verses as you're silent. Then as we come to the even number verses, if you would, read aloud with me. And I mean aloud, as in I want to hear you. All right? Let's see if we can do that this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning in verse number 19. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. He sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, "I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name." And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones. And it was set on David's head, and he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought forth the people that were therein, put them under saws and under harrows of iron, under axes of iron, and made them pass through the brick kiln. Thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. Now this is a little bit of an odd account in the way that we're going to make application this morning, But I do believe that it absolutely applies. And I think the truth is so, so very important for us this 26th day of June, 2022. So I want to bring this message this morning. I want you to hear me closely. A believer's response to roles reversal. A believer's response to roles reversal. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you again for this opportunity that we can, Lord, go to your word and find everything that we need, the answers to all of life's problems. I pray that you'll focus our hearts and our minds specifically as believers on what we can do, considering now this decision has been made. We do give you thanks and praise and glory and honor that there are still those, Lord, who would be willing to make a just and a righteous decision. Help us, Lord, though, to be what you have called us to be as believers in this day that you have set us in. Lord, you've brought us to this kingdom for such a time as this. And so help us with these truths from your word. And again, Lord, I pray that if there is somebody here this morning who has not personally put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray they'll get it settled before it is eternally too late. Lord, I pray that the truth of that song that was just sung would reverberate in their heart this morning. They would fear a time where God would say to them, "Sorry, I never knew you." Help us, please, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I would imagine that most of us have arrived at a point in our lives when we were frustrated concerning the fact that much of life is about responding. Because of our human limitations, there truly is only so much that we can control. I have worked as a law enforcement officer for a period of about 8 years, and now I've worked as a local church pastor for about 4 years. And this realization and the corresponding frustration has been my lot time and again. So much of leadership is responding to the actions of others. Just what do we do with that frustration, though? You'll get no argument from me that many things are completely out of our control. Considering the topic of this message, many of us sitting in this room today did not even exist when the ruling came down from the Supreme Court of the United States of America back in 1973. Then there are others here today who are not old enough to truly have influence in the process. Still others were involved as much as they could be at the time, and still they could not prevent that decision. Through the years and in wildly varying ways, we have simply responded to that action. It is my belief that collectively we have reaped of many consequences of such a choice, which seems unfair. But we are connected as human beings, and we are connected as Americans. And just as we have reaped from the choices of our human ancestors, Adam in particular, we have also reaped from our national ancestors as well. The benefits and blessings, as well as the challenge and consequences. In this manner, we have come into responsibility. And although we are not responsible for their choices, we are responsible for ours. We are responsible for our response. Whether on the heels of victory or on the heels of defeat, we are responsible to respond. whether we are enduring a defeating decision, such as Roe versus Wade or Casey, some of those decisions that have come along and sort of codified that decision, or a victorious decision, such as Roe's reversal, we are responsible to respond. And whereas a certain segment of our society seems set on rage at this latest decision, we must be set on righteousness. We must be set on Him. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Psalm 119, verse number 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. So it is to be the lot of the child of God not to be in a state of perpetual frustration, but God has called us to have perfect peace and great peace, no matter what the decisions may be. We read in our text passage that the servants of King David were fearful of his response to the news that his weak old child had just perished. They had watched and endured his actions amidst the crisis of his sickly son and anticipated something worse entirely. But they were surprised and intrigued at his response over a situation that was now out of his control. His baby was now dead. He could not control in this instance the action or the judgment of a sovereign God. By the way, we need to be reminded this morning that God is always in control. He could not control the action or the judgment of a sovereign God, but he could control his response. May I say this morning? 63 million some odd babies have been brutally murdered in the last half or so century in the United States of America. It has largely been out of our control. But our response is our responsibility. And we are able to respond to the decision that has been made this past week. And I pray that we will. That we will respond in a similar way that King David had responded in our text passage. So I want us to see these things this morning. I want you to notice in the first place that David changed his apparel. David changed his apparel. Notice there in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. This changing of the apparel, we can see in the scriptures as to why this had been accomplished, why he put on a different set of clothing, and we see it really all throughout the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the word that kept on coming back to my heart and mind as I thought about this changing of the apparel is this word by the name of sackcloth. You see it all throughout, especially the Old Testament and some in the New Testament as well. You'll read about people oftentimes putting on sackcloth and ashes. And this was a clothing and apparel of mourning, if you will. Similar to the way that many of us who have been involved in funeral or homegoing services, many times people will put on dark clothing, maybe even black clothing. And that has come to denote apparel of mourning in that day. And many, many times in the years of humankind, people would put on this sackcloth, this very lowly clothing, very, very simple material. The study kind of bears out the fact that this is sort of like a burlap material, very light in weight, and it's got some sort of holes in it, and it allows a person to be in mourning and to cry and to weep and ultimately lie even in the dirt and the dust of the earth as they mourn something tragic that has occurred. Many times in the scriptures, we see groups of people lying in this sackcloth and ashes based upon the fact that sin has occurred, maybe within the group or within the nation. Sin has occurred, and they are mourning, and they want to show that they're in mourning in this sackcloth and ashes. So we see King David. He is in this apparel of mourning. And the Bible says that for a week straight, he's laying in the earth and he's fasting and he's mourning for this child. God has already told him that part of the judgment is going to be that his baby boy will not survive. And now the child is sick and he's fasting and mourning and praying that God would see fit to raise the child up. I'm reminded that over the almost last 50 years, there have been those all over our country. There have been those all over even the world who have gotten involved in fasting and praying and mourning concerning the bloodshed that has been going on day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. After the decision came down from the Supreme Court there in 1973. Fasting and mourning. We see this in the book of Psalm, chapter number 30, verse number 8. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I shall go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. This morning I believe that part of the believer's response to role reversal is going to be that we would change our apparel. Not so much as physically, as we don't use sackcloth and these sorts of things in this day and age in which we live, but I know that there are some, even in this local assembly, who have spent time on their knees, spent time in prayer, in mourning, because of the babies that have been put to death concerning this federal law of the land called abortion. And I know that the work is not done yet. I realize that now each individual state has a choice to make as to how their state is going to look at this sin that has been ours as a national people. But what I am saying to you this morning is I believe there needs to be a transition in the life of believers that we would put on new apparel. I'm talking about many of us who have preached judgment against the wickedness that has gone on in our nation. The wickedness that has caused people in the first place to need an option to get rid of these little bitty babies, by and large, because they wanted to live how they wanted to live against the law of God. You see, I mentioned in Sunday school that this is the reason I believe that abortion was legalized above all else. You remember that free love that was being preached in the 60s. Some of you lived through that time. There had to be a way to cover up the results of that so-called free love. Abortion ended up being the option. And so we've railed and we've rallied and we've preached through the years against our national sin. But I'm saying now that the Lord, through the prayers of God's people and by His mercy and His grace, has given us a space of grace and given us an opportunity once again to be able to allow little bitty babies to be born in a free America, it's time now we change our apparel. And we don't do as much mourning and as much crying and as much calling out against the wickedness. Yes, there's still wickedness in our country, even in this way, certainly in specific states. But I'm saying now that God has given us this decision, it's time for us to change our apparel, once again be people of joy, to sing about God's goodness, to be thankful that God's done what He's done in the last week. We need to be joyful, happy people. People need to see a smile on our face like they've never seen a smile on our face before. And they might look to us and sort of think, boy, it seems like y'all are a little more joyful and you're smiling a little more than I've seen you before. And it may give us the opportunity to tell them, God has done something great. He's rescued us from this national sin that we've endured the last 50 years, and we ought to have joy and thanksgiving to God. We ought to give thanks, folks, publicly, privately. We ought to give thanks. David changed his apparel. And I think in many ways it's time for Christian people to change our apparel as well. To give people hope. To give them a reason to understand, we are not against you as a human being. We're not against you having the right to make decisions about your own life. We all have that choice and that decision. We just want everybody, including the unborn, to have that same freedom. We don't want to be people of hate. We don't want to answer rage with rage. Now, I'll say this, we are advocates for life here at Open Door Baptist Church. And I trust that there won't be anybody during a night or a day of rage that will come to Open Door Baptist Church and try to cause problems. We will defend ourselves. God causes us and allows us to do that. But we also don't need to be of the opinion or the mindset, yeah, we're going to go stand in the public square and they're going to yell at us and with anger and rage in their face and we're going to do it right back. We don't need that as believers. What we need as believers is people who will joyfully get serving the Lord God, change our apparel, realize that God has given us this decision for such a time as this, and we need to get busy. David changed his apparel. Number two, we notice that David came into God's house. David came into God's house. I believe one of the reasons that our country has so gone down the hill concerning this matter of righteousness over the last 50 and even 100 years, some historians would say, is because God's people left God's house. I'm talking about a place where the Word of God and the truths and the principles of God are uplifted. I'm talking about a place where believers covenant together to hold one another accountable to be who we say we are. We don't like that very much. Matter of fact, many in this day and age seem to want to go to a great big church so that they can disappear. They want to feel good and hear a little good message and all of that, slip in, slip out, because they really don't want the accountability that comes from joining the membership of a local church and having brothers and sisters in Christ who will hold you to a standard. that you can hold me as the pastor to a standard. I can hold you as a people to a standard. That we can hold one another to a standard. That when we get involved in practices that are against God and that are against His people and that are against His word, that somebody would say, brother, sister, come back to the Lord. We started through the years to playing t-ball on Sundays. We started through the years of sleeping in. We started through the years of washing our cars and doing various things. You notice, and we preached about it, this idol of sports that we talked about not too long ago. It is one of the biggest days of the week now for sports, especially as football is concerned. It is Sunday. I'm saying that David came into God's house, and it is time for believers again to be faithful, to get faithful to God's house, to join a local assembly and decide, I want to be accountable to God. You say, Pastor Taylor, what can we do now that this decision has been made? Can we just sort of rest on our laurels? Oh, heaven help us. No. Can we say that because there's still wickedness all throughout the land, there's really just nothing we can do and throw up our hands and wait on the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, heaven help us, no! We must get into God's house and get busy with the people of God. I find it interesting what the Bible says about this. Notice there, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 20, right in the middle of the verse. The Bible says, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. I want you to notice that God's house affected his own house. God's house had an effect on his own house. Would to God again that the local church would have a real effect on individual houses all throughout our land. Would to God that daddies and mamas, young people, would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it would make such a difference in their lives that our home life would be different, that there would be peace and harmony and joy and love in our own individual houses. And many of our neighbors this morning, Christian friend, they won't see what's going on today. We don't have it live streamed or anything like that. And so they don't necessarily know what's going on at Open Door Baptist Church today. But did you know that they can get a glimpse of what's going on at Open Door Baptist Church today? You say, when can they get a glimpse? Well, when you and I are living our individual lives there on our street where God has allowed us to live. When you and I go to the job that God has given us, when you and I go to the school that God has allowed us to go to in every individual area of our life, why? The house of God has had an effect on our individual houses. David came into God's house. Folks, we need to come into God's house. Oftentimes, we look out and we read the news and we watch media and these sorts of things, and we begin to think that the straits are dire, and I'm here to tell you they are in many ways. We're not the only ones to sort of get discouraged about these types of things. The writer wrote in Psalm 73, verse number 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. What was he saying? What was he talking about when he said, when I thought to know this, it seemed like he looked around and the wicked were prospering and were enjoying their prosperity. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. And we can look at that and say, oh yeah, they've got an end coming. They've got hellfire to meet. And we can sort of trumpet that, even maybe in a judgmental way, in that sort of respect, to be able to say that we're better than you. Or we can say, oh God, there's an end coming to those that reject you. The house of God will give us hope concerning our own eternity, but it will also challenge us concerning the eternity of others. Where is the moral majority in 2022? The more I go and knock on doors, even here in our local community where we're supposed to be a part of the Bible Belt, the more resistance I find, house by house. We got to get back in God's house and get serious about being accountable to one another, and it would have an influence on our own houses. David changed his apparel. David came into God's house. Number three, David comforted Bathsheba. This is very important. Chapter 12, verse number 24, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went in unto her and lay with her. She bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. This Jedidiah name is simply meaning beloved or loved of the Lord. Bathsheba had lost a child. Bathsheba was in sorrow. By the way, a very different, I would say, kind of sorrow than what David was experiencing. I will say this. Ladies look at children seemingly as a rule differently than men do. I saw an example of this yesterday, and I've seen it before. We went out witnessing in the community. It was 100 degrees, and my family all came out. And I was sort of trying to lead the brigade, trying, emphasis on that word there. My wife with our two little girls. And I'm a little more of the, come on, let's just keep going, and we're going to be fine. You know, it's only going to be an hour, hour, 15 minutes, something like that out here. While Mama Bear has got the kids with these cups of water, ice water, got them taking time to sit under the shade for a little while here and there, constantly asking them, are you okay? You know, are you alive? Mamas look at kids differently than dads do, as a rule. And I'd imagine, as sorrowful as King David was, Bathsheba probably had a very different kind of sorrow, because God's given a mama built in a natural affection for her babies. And I'm telling you right now, Christian friend, as it has been, it remains to be, that there are women all over our country. There's some right here in our community who have lost babies due to their own decision. There's a lot of things that we can do, and we can make them feel bad. I think oftentimes, especially as time ticks away, they feel badly enough as it is. I think they know, oftentimes deep down in their heart, they have violated God. So what they need is they need some Christian people to love them and to comfort them. The type of comfort that the prophet gave to the people of God, Isaiah chapter 40, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Yes, ma'am, your decision has been against God. Yes, sir, if you've been a part of that decision, that decision has been against God. But we're not here to condemn you. We're here to comfort you. We're here to tell you that Jesus came to die for that sin too. In the same way that I was able to get my sin under the precious, sinless, spotless blood of the Lamb of Calvary, you can get yours under it too. God will wipe that away as well. He'll receive you into the beloved. You don't have to live a life of regret. John chapter 8, verse number 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we need to bring a message of comfort to those who have been involved in this lifestyle of sin, as well as other lifestyles of sin, to be able to say, Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And we don't want to condemn you. We want to bring comfort to you. David changed his apparel. David came into God's house. David comforted Bathsheba. Finally, David championed the nation. Now, I want you to notice this. Verses 26 through 31, there was fighting still going on. There were enemies that still existed. There was a war to continue to be accomplished. And David got busy again doing what he should have been doing when this whole situation in his life started. He should have been at battle in 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm not here to lay blame specifically or the certain amount of blame to why it happened about 50 years ago. I don't know your individual part in it. I know David had a lot of cause for accountability in this situation. But God did what God only can do. He ultimately stepped into that situation and God brought justice. And now it was time for David to get back into the fight. It's time for us as children of God to once again champion the United States of America and the liberty and the freedom that God has given us in this country, unlike anywhere in the world. People are still looking to us. Nations are still looking to see, what are you going to do, America? And isn't it a blessing they can see in the United States of America this past week that some of our top leaders of our government would step in and say, this is wrong, and we're going to reverse it. And we need to join those voices in championing the nation, in engaging hearts, in having gospel conversations, in telling people about the hope that is in Jesus Christ. So we need to be engaging hearts, but we also need to be electing heads. Now, I'm not here to give a political speech this morning. I'm really not. But I will say this. Don't you think it is amazing that God allowed our previous president to elect three justices in one term, and all three would vote to overturn Roe? I'm not here to tell you this morning that Donald Trump is a perfect man. We all know that. But I believe God used him specifically to nominate these justices. What does it tell us? We also need to be championing our nation by electing heads, getting involved in government challenges, trying to elect people that still believe this is the law above the law of the land. That we are a Christian nation. And we will continue to serve God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you ask me this coming Tuesday, when I vote, what is the first thing that I am looking at for an elective representative? I want to see what they believe about the Lord and about the Word of God. And that's where I'm going to start. And if they have positions that are egregious to the Scriptures, I'm going to try to get as far away from them as I can, folks. Because we have a great privilege and a great responsibility in our nation to be able to get involved. So, when the decision came down, you might have been like me, and at some point you sort of breathed a major sigh of relief. At least now, maybe about half of our country will decide abortion's not going to be the rule here. But after breathing that sigh of relief, it's time to get back to work. Change our apparel, joyfully go about serving God, getting into God's house, being accountable to one another, comforting those who are involved in a lifestyle of sin, who are subjected by Satan, and championing the nation once again. Saying to ourselves, God, if it has to do just with me, and I understand it'll never just be about me, but God, if it just had to do with me, our nation will never make a decision like that again. Because I'm going to do what I can do. What can we do? We can respond. And God has a response for Roe's reversal. And I pray that we as the people of God will respond the way that God would have us respond. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're not a child of God, you do not know that Jesus is your personal Savior, I want you to hearken back to the song that was sang right before the preaching. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Irregardless of your lifestyle, irregardless of whatever sin it may be, Jesus knows all about it. He shed His spotless, sinless blood for you, that you might be born into His family. And if you'll be willing to receive Him today, He'll be willing to receive you. You can become a child of God. You can have eternal life. Let's bow our heads together and pray together this morning. Father, we thank You once again for the decision that was made in our Supreme Court. Thank You, Lord, for believers all through these last 50 years or so that have been faithful to cry out, to mourn, to fast, to weep, to rally, to be involved and try to give Your hope to people. I pray, Lord, we will decide we're going to continue. Now that this decision has occurred, we're not going to let up or let go. We're going to continue to serve You the way You'd have us to. Lord, that people would see joyful believers, peace-filled believers. And they would want that kind of abundant life. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to ask you a simple question. Do you personally know Jesus as your Savior? Have you been born again into the family of God? Maybe there's somebody here this morning that says, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure that I have been, but I am concerned about it today. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you right this moment. If you just slip a hand up, right back down. I'll pray for you about that need. It's the greatest need you have. It's the greatest need of our country, really, is that people be born again. Say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure that I've been born again, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Is there one? Let me ask you this, Christian friend. You know what you've done in time past. You know what you maybe are planning to do for the future, maybe what your mindset, heart set, attitude is right now concerning the things that we're dealing with in this day and age. I wonder if God's spoken to your heart this morning as a believer to say, I need to respond the way that David responded. I need to be involved. I need to make sure something like this never happens again. Maybe other decisions would go forward because people are born again and they start to see things the way that God sees them. You're a believer here today, you say, Pastor Taylor, God has spoken to my heart. Do you hand testimony to that? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to pray and then give you a time to respond to the invitation that God has for us this morning. If you're lost, you can come to this altar and meet with somebody, a man with a man, lady with a lady. We'll take the Bible, show you what you need to know. You can have eternal life today. Christian friend, I would invite you to come, maybe just to bow here, close to this platform, talk to the Lord. Pour out your heart to Him. Maybe just to say thank you to the Lord once again for allowing you to be alive during this time. And asking the Lord to help you to be involved for the future. Heavenly Father, bless now this time of invitation. Please speak to our hearts. Helps to make decisions that would honor You and would be decisions that would last, Lord, and would make an impact for eternity. Help us as the people of God this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you